All right. Something's on. There we go. All right. He was sleeping. No, I'm just teasing. You ever notice that? The sound guys in church, no one notices them. Nobody cares about them. They just quietly serve until something goes wrong. And then everybody goes, "How dare you?" You ever notice that? It's very interesting. And it happens in every ministry, in every church. Most people don't notice until something goes wrong, and then people jump all over them instead of just jumping in and helping them. Take a note by that, all right? 1 Peter, we're in chapter 3, or it's where we'll start. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you there? How many of you are awake? How many of you are asleep? All right. How many of you can't wait to get home? Oh, okay. How many of you can't wait to get back to your siblings? Couple. All right. Something's wrong with them. All right. How many of you can't wait to get back to your pets? That's concerning. You're more concerned about your pets than yourself. Okay, well, anyway. All right, how many of you are like, you know what, really? I miss the refrigerator. Yeah, How many of you, just be honest, you miss your television? All right, some of you are going to be honest. All right, how many of you, you're like, you know what? I really miss my parents. Interesting. All right. I wonder if they miss you. No. How many of you are like, you know what? I have that favorite spot in my house. It's mine. Whether it's your room curled up on your bed or whether it's a lazy boy, you just miss your own spot. Wow. Yeah, all right. That's interesting. How many of you are like, you know what? I'm a little ashamed to admit it, but I really miss my game system. I really do. Okay, let me help you out. When I became a man, I put away childish things. All right, so we'll know when you come back and you don't miss that anymore. Now we'll know you are now a man. Some of you are like, honestly, I don't miss it because I'm going to get my phone back when I get on the van and I'll be fine. All right, here we go. 1 Peter, are you there? Go ahead and stand with me and we'll read a few verses. We'll even go into chapter 4, all right? 1 Peter chapter 3, let's start reading in verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. Let's go down to verse number 20, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few that in eight souls were saved by water. Verse number 22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject, that means obedient unto him. Chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Get this, number 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil to you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Father, we thank you for your love for us. I pray that you'd help us this morning. May we take our minds and our hearts and put them on the Word of God. We thank you for what you've done, but Lord, I'm convinced you want to do so much more even today. May we be willing to listen and respond to however you talk to us. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name I ask, amen. You may be seated. Most of you have seen the thing, and I call it a thing for a purpose, that I drive around camp, all right? It's a thing. I'm not sure that it's truly a golf cart. I'm told it's called a mule. If I'm understanding correctly, it has been in service on the ranch or West Branch property for close to 40 years, if I'm understanding correctly. So, you know, if you hold your tongue the right way and hit the starter with the hammer, it'll start up. It's pretty great until it doesn't, and then it's just absolutely miserable. Well, most of you have also seen my three-year-old, JJ. She just turned three, and she has this great desire in her heart to drive. Say she's three. She wants to drive Colonel Clink. That's what we call the mule. And if you've heard it coming, you know why we call it Colonel Clink. All right? JJ wants so bad to drive Colonel Clink. She loves it. We'll get out of the trailer. We'll come down to supper. And she'll look at me. She says, can I drive? Can I? How many of you truly learned to drive before you're 5 years old? Seriously? I did. I learned to drive on a Massey Ferguson tractor my granddaddy had. All right, I learned to drive. I knew I couldn't reach the pedals, but I can steer it and I without crashing. That's pretty cool. Some of you, I have questions. All right, maybe there's a reason you're not a man. All right, so anyway, JJ, she wants to drive. She wants to drive so bad. So here's what we do. I sit in the front seat. JJ sits on my lap and she grabs that steering wheel. And she can't reach the pedals, so I do the accelerating and thankfully the braking. And as we're driving along, JJ, she knows that you're supposed to do like this. And honestly, she doesn't do that bad. Between you and me and the wall, she does better than her six-year-old sister. So she's doing this like this, and she's driving, but I watch her, and as she's driving, she doesn't have the strength to turn it all the way. So as she's driving, what do? Well, I'm the father. I'm not going to let her wreck. So I put my hand right on the steering wheel. And you know what I do? I correct where she's having trouble. I correct so she doesn't wreck, right? I mean, I don't want her. I mean, if you go off the road here, it's not really any different than the road. It still has rocks. Only the rocks are bigger. And I don't want that to happen. I mean, I have friends, and they've wrecked their mules, their golf carts, kids falling off, gotten hurt. I have a friend who he was driving with his little girl on the moped. The little girl fell off when they hit a bump, and she died. And so I understand that this is a very serious thing, so I'm being careful. I'm correcting when we go over the bumps and over the rocks so we don't wreck. But you know what? I watched JJ's face last night on the way to supper. You know what happened? She's driving, and I reach up, and I grab the wheel with one hand, and I correct it. And you know what she did? And she just stopped. She's mad. She's mad because I took over. I told her, I said, JJ, you can drive. I'm just going to help you. So she put her hands back up there. We come around that corner right there that some of you came around yesterday night or last night on the hayride. And we came around that corner. Well, she doesn't have the strength to turn it all the way around that corner. And remember, it's an old mule, and it's not exactly in working 100% order. So I've got to really turn the thing. And she's holding on all of a sudden. I put my hand back over there. She got mad again. But she got mad because I'm trying to keep her safe. She got mad because she couldn't do it her way. But if I would let her do it her way, we'd all be in the ditch. You understand? You say, what's the point? Silly story. It's a three-year-old. I mean, obviously, the three-year-old can't drive. She thinks she can. You know, it sounds to me an awful lot like God's people, both young and old, who think that they know what's best for their lives. They try to plan their life. They try to do what they want to do. They make plans and decisions like we heard yesterday. But when they do not allow the Lord's correction to be preeminent and first place in their lives, they're setting themselves up to end up in the ditch. And young person, God has a plan for your life. Let's put it this way. I'm going to use a phrase that most Christians hate. Ready? The will of God. You know, the will of God is a good thing. Surrender is a good thing. You say, well, isn't surrender, you know, like when you come to the end of a battle and you just have to give up? Yeah. Surrender in the Word of God has the very idea of choosing to be obedient in everything God says and then being willing to do anything God asks. That is surrender. And most Christians, young and old, have the idea that if they take their hands off and let God take over, what a miserable life they will lead. But understand this. If you do not let God take over, if you do not take your hands off, not in anger, but in willing submission, you are headed for the ditch. You're headed for destruction. God doesn't want that. Some people have the idea that the God in heaven is standing over you with a baseball bat, waiting for you to mess up and woohoo! No. The God in heaven, get this, He's for you. You read that all throughout the New Testament. God is for you. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to please Him. He wants you to have an incredible life. And get this, nothing God gives is anything else but good.
Right.
Nothing. You see, when God made the earth, He said it was good. When God made you, no matter how He made you and no matter what everybody else says, God said it was good. And the plan that God has for your life, both now and 10, 15, 20, 25, etc. years from now, God's plan is always good. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's look at the Word of God. Notice what happens in the Word of God. In these verses right here, He'll say in verse number 3, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. In other words, this was our life. This was the old life. When we were born in sin, and when we just sinned because, how about this, we didn't know what else to do. We had no reason to try to be good because we are inherently evil. Have you heard these people that say, oh, yeah, they did wrong, but they have a good heart? No, you don't. You have a dirty, rotten, filthy heart. We've heard about it this week. You don't have a good heart, so don't follow your heart. You say, well, I have the shirt from Walmart. I don't care what you got from Walmart. It's not going to last long. And you can follow your heart, but you'll find yourself in the ditch.
Right.
So follow God. Follow God's plan. Follow God's will. Now, if I ask Christian young people today, every Christian young person I have ever talked to about the will of God wants to know the will of God for them. They may not be thrilled about doing it, but they're curious about it. They want to know, what's God's will for my life? Who will I marry? What will I do? Where will I go? Where will I live? What about the will of God? Now, young person, can I just be real honest with you? I want to help you, first of all. Number two, we have made the will of God hard. God doesn't make it hard. He never has. He never will, And understand this. God promises when you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you want God's will, and you choose to do God's will, you won't end up in the ditch. There's no way. It's impossible, because God is always good. In 1 Peter, you read about the old life. You read about what we used to be. But when you read 1 John, he says, that was the old life, but now you ought do this. I want you to turn your Bibles with me. I think this will be a help. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. Notice what it says in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, it says this. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that means the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and in the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even others, but God, get this, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and, get this, hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And many times we in there, but keep going. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good. Good works? Didn't we just say that God is good? In other words, God says we had an old life, but now He has a plan for our new life. You see, when I trusted Jesus Christ as my only way to heaven, something miraculous happened. Not only did I get a new home and a new hope based on Jesus Christ and the Bible, but I have a new person living inside of me. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's one that is grieved when I choose the old life, and He is one that wants to help me walk in the new life. He says, walk in the Spirit, that's the one that lives inside of you, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, God's for you. God has a good plan for you. He wants you to live right. He wants you to do right. He wants you to please Him, and He's given everything you need to do exactly what God wants you to do. Then why live in the old life? If we were to come up to a slave and set them free, the slave would never pick up the chains and say, I'd rather have this life that I'm living. If you were to set a slave free and give him a banqueting table and give him a home and give him clothes, he'd never say, no thanks, I think I'm going to go back to my old life, my old chains, my old bondage. I'm going back to that. You'd say, he would do that? That's a nut. Something is inherently wrong with him. Doesn't he see all the good that is promised? Get this, friend. Anytime that you and I choose the actions of the old life, we're missing out on the goodness of God offered for the new life. We're missing out. Get this. Your pastor is not the only one that can have answers to prayer. God wants to hear your prayer. The men that preach are not the only ones that can open the Bible and say, oh, now let me tell you what God says. That is religion. But a relationship with God, when I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, now, according to Ephesians, I dwell with Christ and Christ with me. And get this, you open the Word of God. God, the Holy Spirit, can give you everything you need from the very words that you read. He can.
You say, but listen, these are a bunch of old words. I don't know what they say.
Can I help you out? You will hear people say all the time, you need a new Bible so you can understand it. Please understand this. The Bible that you hold was written so a second grader could understand it. Number two, use a dictionary. But three, and most important, ask God who lives inside of you to teach you from His Word. It is good. He said it's good. You say, well, listen, can't I do what I want to do? Can't I live my own life? I mean, yes, I want to know the will of God, but what if the will of God is different from what I want? Would it be okay for me to say, you know what, God, not today. I'm going to go do this instead. Please understand that because God bought you, He owns you. And if He owns you, you have no right to your life. I hear this in churches all across America as I travel and preach. And I hear Christians who hear on Bible preaching, and they say this, I know what God says, but I have, and here's the word they always use, rights. You don't have any rights. When you came to the cross and you accepted Jesus' payment for your sin, now He owns you. So it's only reasonable that you let Him do with you what He wants to. I mean, that's what He tells us in the book of Romans. That's what He told us in 1 Peter. That's what He tells us in 2 Corinthians. That's what He tells us when He says, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Get this. Which are God's, not yours. You don't belong to you. So understand this. It's time to take your hands off what God already owns. It's time to just understand, you know what? I have no right to make my own calls, my own decisions, my own plans. It's God's. I belong to God. God didn't save you and say, see you in heaven. God saved you so that you could walk with Him, so that you could obey Him, so He could orchestrate your life. Understand this. God's plan is always best. You open up the Word of God. You find in the passages we read that it is very revealing by how you live as to who owns you. Now, I cannot look on your outside and tell you what's in your heart. But it always reveals some of what's in your heart. If you were to pick up a fruit like I did in Fry's Marketplace on Sunday, I picked up an avocado. You know what an avocado is? The green thing, you know, makes guacamole. Some of you are like, it's green. Hey, when I was a kid, they went through this thing at Heinz Ketchup Factory where they decided that they were going to color dye the ketchup. And there was a time where they had varieties of colors of ketchup. They had yellow ketchup. That messes with you when you put it with mustard. They had purple ketchup. It was the same ketchup, but you thought it tasted weird because of how it looked. They even had green ketchup. That really messed with you. But you know what? Truly, it tasted the same, but it looked different. I pick up an avocado. I say, oh man, this one looks good. And I get ready to put it in my bag. And when I did, my thumb shifted. And it pushed on one spot of the avocado I had not yet felt. And my thumb went all the way through it. And I went, just like one of you just did. You say, what'd you do? I couldn't find a trash can, so I left it there. Yeah. For the next person, because I'm so loving. No. You say, wait a minute, didn't it look good? Yeah, I was getting ready to put it in my bag. But it was not good. And understand this, you may look good on the outside, but it doesn't mean your heart is right with God. But understand this, if you are bought by God, God has a right to your life, and you ought do what God says do. Because He owns you. So it's only reasonable. It's only understandable. And God says it'll be agreeable, but keep going. Notice what he will say in Ephesians chapter 6. Would you turn there? I'd like for you to see this. Not only is God's will revealing of what's inside based on how you respond to it, but also it will always be right. It'll be right to you when you do God's will, and when you do God's will, well, we don't base it on feeling, but it'll be right to you. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, he'll say in verse number 5. Ephesians 6, verse number 5. As soon as I get there, Ephesians 6, verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. In other words, if you work for somebody, let's say you work at Chick-fil-A, whatever, you better show up on time or they're going to fire you. You better wear what they tell you. You know, that intrigues me. Christians have issues wearing what God says wear, but the work at a fast food restaurant, whether it's In-N-Out or Chick-fil-A, and they have no problem wearing what they're asked to wear.
Right.
It shows there's an issue that you have with your master. His name's God. Keep going, he says in verse number 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Understand this. We've been hearing about the heart all week. You cannot do the will of God unless your heart is right with God. Please understand, there are an awful lot of people in our churches all across America, young and old, who have this opinion. It doesn't matter about my heart. As long as I'm serving God, God will be okay with it. Excuse me. Just as much as it is wrong for me to be a child of God and not do God's will, it is wrong for me to do God's will and not be right with God. And you may look right on the outside. It doesn't mean your inside's right. And if your inside's right, it ought to do right on the outside. You say, is it that big of... Yes, it's that big of a deal. Because he owned you, he bought you, and he says it's reasonable. He says it's right. I want you to see something in the Word of God. This is amazing. Notice, would you turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter... Let's go to Psalm chapter 40, verse number 8 first. Psalm chapter 40, verse number 8. Psalm 40, verse number 8. He says this, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Understand this. If you are just simply going to choose to be obedient to God's law, God's word, you will have no problem doing God's will. You won't. You say, hey, listen, I want to obey God. But if there's any buts, you don't want to obey God. You see, Christianity is not this. Christianity is not this. Christianity is this. God, I'll obey you however you want. You can have anything and everything I have. I'm willing to do anything you want. Just use me. And then being obedient to however God wants to use you. I look over in Psalm. You're right there. Should be right across the page. Notice what he says in Psalm 37, verse number 31. I love this one. This one's really neat. Psalm 37, verse number, what did I say? Psalm 37, verse number 31. Verse number 31 of Psalm 37. It says, mark the perfect man. Behold, the upright, for the end of man is peace. Following God. Following God, doing what's right. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 13. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. Get this. If you do the will of God, you cannot slide, and you will not slip. In other words, when you choose to do what's right, you cannot miss the will of God. I meet young people all the time, especially when it comes to who they're going to date and who they're going to marry. And let me just enlighten you with something. If you date them, there's a probability you're going to marry them. I mean, is that hard?
No, we're just friends.
Give me a break.
No, I mean, we just enjoy hanging out together.
Hey, listen. You're just friends. You just enjoy hanging out with the lost. Be careful.
You say, well, listen, I don't want to win them to Christ.
Be careful.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll come around.
Be careful. Never date someone that you have a question whether God would want you to marry that person.
Right.
Save your heart for the one that God has. And I can tell you this, you put your heart on God, you won't miss God's will. I have met many a young man, but especially young ladies.
Well, if he doesn't marry me, I'll be an old maid.
Just wait on God. God will take care of it. You be obedient to God, you cannot miss the will of God. You choose to be obedient to God, then you can't choose sin at the same time. He says you serve one or the other. I want you to see one more thing. The will of God in the Word of God is revealing of your heart, whether you do it or not. The will of God is right, always right, but also it's releasing. Notice what it says in Romans 6. Romans 6, verse number 16. You're listening well, we're almost done. Romans 6 and verse number 16. Romans 6, verse number 16. Romans 6, verse number 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more that I do, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He says in verse number 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Here's what he says. He says, listen. Sometimes I see the will of God, which is simply God's plan. And I look at that and I think, man, I'd like to do that, but I don't know if I can. And when I try to do good, I sin. And when I choose, it's just all confusing. It's hard to do. Listen, you cannot please God without God. You cannot do the will of God or find the will of God if you will not simply choose to be obedient to God. Understand this. The will of God is simply obeying what God says. If you want to find God's plan for your future, you have to obey God's plan for you right now, which is obey. And that would include making your bed in the morning. That would include being in God's Word. That would include being in God's house. That would include obeying your parents. You say, but I'm a teenager. You're under their roof. You must obey. You say, come on now. I mean, I'm actually wondering what God wants me to do when I'm 25. I want to know where He wants me to go to college. I want to know who He wants me to marry. Are you ready? If you want to find all that out, you just choose to be obedient now. You will never find God's will for you later if you will not do God's will for you now, which is simply obey God. You say, so you mean the will of God is simply obeying God? Yes. Doesn't he say that his word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path? Doesn't he say that he'll illuminate where we ought be when we take that step according to his word? Young person, I thought about the story of JJ on the mule. I thought about how frustrated she'd get when I take over. And I thought, you know, that's a lot like the Christian life. Maybe instead of us trying to drive our life, we should take the keys out of the ignition. We should hand them to the Lord Jesus. And we should climb in the passenger seat. But the more I thought about it and the more I thought about who I am, I thought that's not good. Because I can see me reaching over on the steering wheel and saying, wait, I don't know about that. Let's go over here. So maybe we should crawl in the back seat. Maybe we should just, you know, sit back there, but we all know what backseat drivers are. And I can see me trying to tell the Lord where to go, and I can see me trying to maybe even unbuckle and climb over the seat and saying, no, I don't want that. But God's still saying, I know what's best. So I think maybe it would be better if we slide out of the driver's seat of our lives and we take the keys around to the trunk and we open it up and we crawl inside and we hand the Lord the keys, we slam the lid, and we look through the keyhole to the Lord and we say, Lord, take it anywhere you want to go. I'll go with you wherever. Because what you have is always good. Many of you young people, you're trying to drive your own life. Or you're trying to tell the Lord he doesn't know what he's doing. Take your hands off. It is reasonable because he bought you. It is right because he never offers wrong. And when it really just comes down to the word of God and the will of God, you can always know that when I and you choose to do the will of God, there is nothing else that will bring lasting joy. I have met many of people who have been on their deathbed and who have had regrets for what they did not do for God. But I have never, of the probably hundreds of deathbeds I have stood at, met someone who has served God and had a regret for doing so. Young person, what are you concerned about? People or God? Whose plan do you want, yours or God? Whose will do you want to follow, yours or God? It's time to take your hands off. God, I'll go with you. I'll follow you to the end of the way, no matter what, because you own me. Hands off. Hands off. Heads back.